Happy Sunday, church family. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." See, the irony of this statement is that David wrote this psalm while he was in hiding, running away from Saul. He wrote this shortly after having to pretend that he was a madman before a foreign king to save his own life. See, either David had gone mad, or he's reminding us of this timeless truth that the goodness of God does not depend on our circumstances. See, even in the darkest time of our lives, we can still taste and see His goodness. And those who take refuge in Him will experience His blessing. So let's enter into His presence together. Let's believe that we will taste and see how good the Lord is and receive the gift of His full blessing. Let's praise Him.
In our lungs, so we pour out our Good morning and good afternoon, church family. It's so good to be here with you once again through our online platform. Today, we have a very special time. I love proclaiming God's word, but I realize that our preaching is not just in word, but also in deed. And the word that the Lord has really put on my heart in this season is this word, incarnation. I think this is a very special time. Almost, I feel like God has really set the stage for the church to really be incarnated in this world once again. So this past week, we had a special prayer session with Cheryl and the Bimasters about the birthing of this new ministry called Healing Grove. And I've been personally so challenged and inspired. So we decided to take some time to really hear from these two amazing women who are really preaching the message of the gospel incarnationally through their deeds as well as their words. So I'm just so grateful that they're here. Welcome, Cheryl and Sandy. And I want to start with Cheryl. You know, we've been using this phrases such as unprecedented time or uncharted water. But we have this assumption that we're the only one or only generation that has experienced a crisis like this. But as you know, the church, every generation of the church actually has gone through a similar crisis of this kind of magnitude. So I want to just start from there. Cheryl, if you can just share with us, this is such an incarnational moment for the church. I feel like the Lord is really setting up the stage for the church to shine. And share with us, just based on your experience, what are some things that we can do, or what are some perspectives that you can share with us as a church? How do we really incarnate the message of Christ?
Thanks, Pastor Ted. I think that you're right in the sense that in this generation, this seems like something that is new, and it is, or something that's never happened before. And while we may have never had the SARS coronavirus that we have today, the history of pandemics and disease outbreak is one that's been there for our entire human history. If you look in biology, pandemics are expected to occur almost on every 100 years. And you know, we are about 100 years past the Spanish flu, which was the 1918 pandemic that occurred. So this should not be a surprise to us that we are experiencing it. But for most of us in our generation, this is the first like what we have ever experienced. And so with that in mind, I have been doing a lot of thinking with some of my other kind of Christian friends and really thinking a lot about what should be the global church's response in a time of pandemic like this. And if you look back in Christian history, even as early as a few hundred years after Christ's death and resurrection in the 200s, there was a large plague called the Plague of Cyprian that occurred. And it was notable because at that time, Christians came out in numbers to really care for those that were suffering from that particular plague. And it was so striking to people at the time that the historians who were writing down things at the time commented at the Christians specifically and called them out for their courage, for their acts of love and service to those that were ill. And, you know, several times throughout history, we see that the church, meaning the people, God's people, would rise up and care for others. And this would be the start of great revivals and church growth throughout Christian history. If you fast forward to the time of the Black Plague, which I think is remarkable in human history for wiping out nearly one-third of the human population, we see a group of people called the Alexian Brothers. And for those who have been in San Jose for a while, we have a hospital that used to be named Alexian Brothers Hospital. Well, the heart of the Alexian Brothers was that they cared for those that were suffering from the plague. And so throughout church history, we see that Christians have been known by their love, by their courage to care for those in, you know, the midst of disease, in the midst of virus or pandemic or plague. And even in recent history, you know, within our past decade, we have the history of Ebola, And so Ebola, of course, mostly was in Africa. But I think you all may remember the story of the brave physician, Dr. Kent Brantley, who was in from Samaritan's Purse. And he was one of the first Americans to contract Ebola virus. And you know, I heard a testimony coming out from him that when Ebola broke out in Liberia, he was already there, and that did not deter from his calling to be in Africa, but in fact strengthened his reserve and mission and purpose to be in Africa to serve the people there. And so even in recent history, we have examples of Christians really feeling called to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of pandemic and crisis.
Thank you, Cheryl. I remember when this crisis broke out, you were at the forefront as a medical doctor, caring for people, caring for those that are coming in for tests. And I remember you also went through an infection, and we weren't sure if it was really COVID-19 or something else. At the time, there was really not a lot of test kit available, but you chose to stay on mission, and you chose to stay in action to this day. You have growing children, three of them, and you have aging parents at home. What did it mean for you to really stay engaged with this crisis at the forefront? You could have easily chosen to stay home and take care of your family's safety, but why now?
Sure. I have to make a statement, though, that when I had the symptoms and I was sick, I did stay home to prevent, potentially passing an infection to others. But thankfully, actually, I tested negative and my symptoms resolved. I think as a Christian, and I can say this for a lot of healthcare workers as well, there's this sense of mission and calling. And I've just sensed just a real honor and a privilege to be able to be on the front lines during this pandemic season. I feel like it for such a time as this, we've been trained as healthcare workers to be able to be here. And so when people need it, that we are here. I, of course, approach with caution, in the home. And so during that time when I was concerned that I was infectious, I did, isolate, and I am more cautious, obviously, now, given that we live in a multi-generational household. But the mission is clear, and I think it's in some ways it's become crystal clear the reasons that we are to be called in this time.
I think that in itself really is what the Lord has been really speaking to me. As a pastor, when this crisis came, the last 5-6 weeks have been so crazy for us, trying to figure out how to get our ministries online and learn how to use Zooms and tape our video messages every week. And so I think we've done quite well in terms of moving the church online. But I love what you shared. I think this, I've been really wrestling as a pastor that if this is all there is for the church to learn, maybe we're really missing out on what God has planned for the church in this season. And I really believe that what the Lord is trying to teach the church is to really get on his mission. That's what I've been wrestling, and that's what I'm hearing from you. I want to change the gear a little bit, and I want to turn the focus onto Sandy, my wife. And we've been also processing this at home a lot. It is really about the season with our next generation. We have 4 growing children at home, and our interest is not just getting through this crisis, but what will they say of this season? What will they say of this COVID-19 crisis? And especially, what will they say about our leadership as parents, as mom and dad? So I want to hear from my own wife about what God has put on her heart in terms of really shaping the value and the worldview of our next generation.
Good morning and good afternoon, church family. There are 4 words that have emerged for me personally as a parent: resetting, shaping, becoming, and birthing. So when the school closures were announced, middle of March, and then the county shelter in place was mandated, I was so excited not to go into work, not to drive my kids to school, pack lunches for them. I was excited to be at home with them, but also overwhelmed by the task of what that really meant. And I remember sitting with my children, and we were sharing how we have been given 4 weeks of school closures, and that it would be an awesome time to reset our family life and just some of the unhealthy life patterns that we've been living with. Ted and I have been running hard for many months. We've been out of town, and we had planned trips ahead, but I felt like it was God's gift to us to kind of reset. And so we had some goals to work on. And during that time, one of the big questions that God posed to me was, how am I going to shape my children's generation so that when they look back at this season in 10, 20, 30 years, what will they say of this season in their lives? What will come out of this COVID-19 generation in history books? What will be said of this COVID-19 Christian children in our church history? And the idea of sheltering in place, you know, we were asked not to even assemble at the church. And what does it mean for a family to worship now as a church in our homes? And so I started really asking the Lord, what is my role and assignment as a mom and as a parent to really raise our next generation to remember this time in church history? And is it even possible that a revival is being birthed through this season? Revivals not just that take place at church, but a revival that starts in the home as we are sheltering in place. So that shaping of worldview, we read in scripture, God says, do not be surprised by famines and earthquakes and disease and pestilence and epidemics. Yet God is saying, church, these are things that are to come and you need to be watchful and to prepare. And so the first assignment I gave my kids was to memorize Psalm 91. We as a family, we memorized it and we recited. Psalm 91 says, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I was that parent that bribed my kids to memorize the entire chapter, $1 for each verse. So at the end of that week, they were all awarded $16 for all 16 verses. Yet that has become a foundation for our family to really make God's word real to us, to realize that in history, there have been seasons such as this that we are living in now, and God is a God who is sovereign and in control. He is not shaken up by things around us, but yet I wonder if God actually pushed his divine reset button for all of us to take a pause from running so hard to reset our lives and to use this season to shape a worldly view that is focused on God, who is in absolute control. In shaping, I realized that there's a becoming of our character and who we are. By the end of the first week, I realized that I was not a very nice mom. At the end of that week, I sat down with my kids and I gave them a long lecture about what an entitled generation they are. And I started complaining to them that you feel entitled to a hot breakfast, hot lunch, hot dinner every single day, 7 days a week. And I was exhausted as a mom. I was exhausted continuing work at home. I felt there were no boundaries at home. My kids were constantly knocking at my door, and there was a real challenge of working at home while raising kids, while trying to maintain peace and joy. And it was at that time God was saying, speaking to me, that there is something being birthed in this season. In the shaping of our worldview, we need to become people, moms and dads, children, who really reflect the character of Christ. It's not enough just to know the Bible and have a godly worldview, but what are we becoming through this season? And I realized that there is a virus even in my own heart that God was dealing with. A lot of you are weeding in your backyards at home, and I really believe that God is weeding out things that are not healthy in our souls. In the resetting, in the shaping and in the becoming, God is indeed birthing a dream and destiny for each and one of us. And this is what Ted and I talk about often. What is being birthed in our generation? What is being birthed in this next generation, the COVID-19 generation? What is being birthed individually as a family and as a church? And I really believe that there is something that God is birthing in each one of you in this season, and we are not to waste this time. It's a Kairos moment, an opportune moment that God is resetting and building up new things in our lives, and I don't want to miss this opportunity.
So Cheryl, Sandy just used the imagery of pruning and birthing. Those are the two words that really stuck out for me. I want to hear from you. In what ways God has been pruning your heart and pruning your spiritual life? And more so, what are some things that the Lord is really birthing in your heart in this season?
Yeah, so pruning and birthing, for sure. This is the ripe time for that. So as Sandy mentioned, you know, there really is such a pruning process going on right now in myself, and I'm sure in all of you, at least personally, I can speak to all types of ugliness that has come out during this shelter in place in my own, you know, in my own temperament that comes out when we're all kind of together 24/7. And so the Lord is definitely working on those areas in me so that I may be used for his purposes. And in terms of birthing, it is an amazing time of birth. So for those of you that may have heard about Healing Grove or not have heard about it before, it is a Christian faith-based clinic that a good friend of mine and her husband started a number of months ago. And so this has been something that's been kind of stirring in my heart for many, many years. And it just, you know, it was really a God's timing in the sense that this was the year, actually last year, 2019, where we started to really put that together. And as my friends, Angie and Brett Bymaster, started meeting together and dreaming and praying, we really sensed this sense of urgency to really get this clinic off the ground. And so in record time, we incorporated, we had a lease on a building, which was way faster than we ever had expected. We started architectural plans for the remodel. We started raising money. And all this, you know, we just kept saying, why is this going so fast? I mean, it was as if God was really pushing us to start immediately. And then things started happening in Angie and Brett's job such that they were freed to focus on the ministry of Healing Grove. And it was incredible that Angie's last day of her job at her prior clinic ended on March either 11th or 12th. I'm sorry, was it April? I'm getting all my dates mixed up. But the March, has it been that long? March 12th, the day the shelter in place started. And so as soon as that hit in Santa Clara County, that was her first day to 100% focus on Healing Grove, which, as you can see now, that is such a God-ordained timing. And so we really sense that this is birthed of God, just in the way that he's timed and orchestrated that all. And so it's really totally out of our control. And in the way that birth is that the baby just comes out when the baby is ready. And that has really been our experience to date.
Thank you, Cheryl. One more question that I have is that obviously, even with birthing, there's a window of time. You cannot just forever wait for this to happen. Can you share a little bit about how critical timing of all this is? And then ever since Wednesday, people have been also asking us, texting us, how can we be part of this story that God is writing? So if you're not a medical professional, what are some practical ways for us to really engage in this and give our time and energy into this?
Yeah, so I really sense that there is an open window of opportunity right now. It was interesting so that when we first started Healing Grove and started talking about this new ministry to both non-Christians and Christians alike, we encountered some resistance here and there, even in the Christian community, but it was really eye-opening to me that when the COVID virus hit and the coronavirus hit and we were really pivoting our operations to meet the kind of the needs of this particular what's happening right now,
doors are flying open and people are really open to a lot of things. And so, you know, I know I shared about this on Wednesday, but it was really striking to me that in New York City now, at Central Park, a very public location, Samaritan's Purse, which is a openly evangelical Christian organization, has been invited by Mount Sinai Hospital in the city of New York to put up a makeshift hospital in Central Park full of, you know, hospital equipment, including ventilators, which I find absolutely incredible, that they asked this evangelical organization that is known to hire Christian healthcare professionals that pray and they conduct Christian prayers in this very public setting. They invited them into the heart of New York City. That, to me, that really speaks miles about what opportunities we have as Christians right now. And so any resistance that we had sensed with Healing Grove before to being an openly evangelical Christian organization has gone. And, you know, when we talk to Christians and non-Christians alike, even the public health department, people are open and they are really willing to engage with us and talk with us in a way that was not possible before. So, you know, I had always sensed, and I think all of you probably have sensed as well, that there has been increasing hostility against Christianity in recent years, but just something broke and fell down just in the past few weeks, which has been incredible.
Yeah, God is not only giving us a platform to really be openly Christian, but also giving us an opportunity to really redeem our credibility as a church. So that's really exciting. I have to ask you this one story. We've been kind of celebrating together of this miraculous provision of all the testing kit. That's another way that God is really affirming that this is part of his will for this season. So why don't you share this story just to lift our faith a little bit?
Yeah, we have some really incredible stories so far. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to diverge a little bit. But I, you know, we were reading in Joshua the other weekday currently. And I, what really struck me was when the Jordan River parted, that it did not part until the Israelites or the priests actually stepped into the water. And that was when the river parted. And that is exactly what we or I have been experiencing at Healing Grove. And so the example that Pastor Ted is alluding to was that one of the kind of hindrance points for us to expand our coronavirus drive-up testing at the Cathedral of Faith was access to swabs and, you know, nasopharyngeal swabs to be exact. And this is not a problem unique to us. I mean, this has been the problem for our entire country, is that we do not have enough access to the swabs for testing. And so, you know, we were calling on our vendors, we were calling on our friends to ask for swabs. I put out this Facebook request on this physicians group, local physicians Facebook group, and I said, anybody have some swabs they care to share with us? You know, we're going to be doing mass testing in San Jose for this community. And what was amazing was that there was a physician there who works for a local biotechnology firm, and they were actually and are interested in basically doing a test site, like a research site for one of their new technologies of testing. And so they basically offered us a large number of swabs in exchange that we would be one of their clinical sites to do this research study. And they also offered to pay us for our time, which, my goodness, as a new startup nonprofit, we are definitely open to being paid for our work. And so it was just an incredible miracle that we got connected and things are moving fast and the research study is about to embark soon and we're going to be using their swabs that they're going to be paying for, not only the swabs themselves, but also the running of the lab work to test to, you know, the lab fees associated with that test. So, I mean, miracles right and left, but that's one amazing story that I got to be a part of.
Yeah, when I heard this story, it was certainly one of those Red Sea parting moment. That without the swap, without the testing kit, you could not be doing what you're doing right now. So this is another way of really God asking us to take a step of faith, and then he provides above and beyond what we could imagine. I just cannot believe that they're actually paying you for doing this as well. So that's so awesome. I want to switch gear one more time, and then I want to bring the mic to Sandy. And if you can just share with us, I know once again, we're not medical professionals, or we're not the first responders who can really engage in any meaningful way at this time. But we've talked a lot about really staying on God's mission. And part of it is really shaping the worldview of our next generation. But what are some practical ways, once again, that we can really live out this mission during this shelter-in-place season in a way that our next generation will remember this time as God's divine Kairos moment?
So as I was thinking about this question, I would love for my children and this COVID-19 generation to look back and say, as a family, we were intentional and we were missional. Intentional in seeking God's heart for ourselves, intentional in really building our foundation in the Lord to really discover who we are in Christ, but to take that extra step and ask ourselves, how can we really live out our Christ identity, our Christ character, our Christ calling in such a missional way that people who've been affected through this COVID-19 crisis can say, somebody in the church, a Jesus follower, a Jesus lover, touched my life. So as a family, after my first week and my own crisis of parenting, and realizing that we're all dealing with entitlement issues, that's when God was charging me and inviting me to say, you need to become a missional family. If you're constantly talking about how hard life is, how hard homeschool life is, how hard work and family boundaries are, you're forgetting the mission that I am inviting your family and your church to be on. And so starting that Sunday, I revived our KitchenAid, is it called KitchenAid? The mixer, I don't even use it, but I asked my kids to bake away and cookies, brownies, macarons, whatever they are able to. And the first round of visits that we started was to visit the elderly in our church community, the elderly, the widows, and the singles. We went out, and it was one of those uplifting moments for me and my family, realizing that there are people, even in our church community, who want to be touched. Maybe not physically touched, but everyone longs to be seen and heard and loved and cared for in this season. And there are those outside of our immediate family that may not even express the deeper longing in their heart for connection. And so just a small care package that my kids and I put together was a tremendous blessing for the people receiving it, but more so for ourselves to realize that there is a mission that God is inviting us individually as a family and the church to be on. And so coming back to Healing Grove, I actually have the privilege to be on the leadership board of Healing Grove as well. And I realize it's not just a calling and assignment for me, but for my entire family. And so a couple of weeks ago, there was a Facebook post by Dr. Angie saying that there's a huge amount of bananas in her driveway. We don't really eat bananas at home. I don't really bake at all. But I went and picked up a ton of bananas, and we baked away. In my neighborhood, I'm part of a Facebook group for moms in my neighborhood, and I said, I have two baking pans. Can you guys lend me some? And within 5 minutes, I had baking pans in front of my door, and we baked about 12 banana breads. Baked 13, but this guy took one.
It was so good that I had to confess, but we actually kept one and enjoyed it.
It was good. We had to make sure it tasted good. And so the next day, we put a Spanish printed Bible verse on there, Psalm 91. And we drove to the Washington neighborhood, dropped off the 12 banana breads, and my kids were so excited to know that they get to be a part of being a reflection of Jesus, even with all the social distancing that we need to abide by. There are practical steps to becoming missional people, bringing in our children in whatever ways we can, and really living out God's mission in a powerful way, because the world wants to be seen and loved and cared for at this time.
Thank you for just bringing it down to such a practical level. We don't have to be a medical doctor. We don't have to speak Spanish. We don't have to be a church planter. Just something as simple as just being able to bake a loaf of banana bread can really be the mission of God. So that is so encouraging. We're running out of our time. I wish we had more time to chat and really just enjoy what the Lord is doing in our midst. But I'm going to ask the two of you, just in a couple of sentences, give us a charge on what God has really put on your heart for this season, for our church family. And then I'm going to ask the two of you to really bless over our congregation.
So I bless the church in this time to really hear what the Lord is doing in your heart. So anything that he is pruning and sanctifying in your heart, that you would be open to his gentle work. And in that pruning, I just bless you that he would give you a sense of what skills or what heart that you have, that he would use your hands to bless many.
So I want to bless you to give a yes to God in this season. God may be pressing on your heart to reset some unhealthy patterns in your life. God may be stirring in your heart and asking you how we need to be reshaped in our worldview of who God is, how we can reshape or even shape for the first time just a biblical worldview in our children and in the next generation. It could even be with our elderly parents or our neighbors. Are you willing to give God your yes in the character formation, the becoming that he is forming in you? And are you ready to give God your yes in the dreams and destiny that God is birthing deep in your soul? Church, are you ready to give God your yes?
Let me also pray over us. Father, we thank you for inspiring our hearts this morning. And Lord, we know that this is not just a season of sheltering, but it's truly a Kairos moment. You have really set the stage for your church to stand up, rise up, to be all that we can be. And Father, that seems like such a daunting task, but Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak to us even long after this service is over, that what are the ways that we can really live missionally with the intention of bringing your kingdom into our midst, into our community, Lord. So Lord, will you bless us? Will you continue to write these amazing stories of your miraculous provision in the days ahead? And we especially bless Healing Grove Ministry, that as they continue to fight this battle at the forefront, Father, not only we pray for your protection, but we pray for just your unending favor, upon your grace to be upon this ministry, so that, Lord, we want to see your kingdom birthed right in the heart of our inner city, Lord. So we thank you once again for challenging us, and we continue to stay in this posture of listening as you continue to unravel and unfold your vision before us. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things.
I hope and pray that you've been challenged and inspired by the words of our sisters. I want to remind you that our worship does not end here. It actually continues on to tomorrow and to the rest of the week until we come together again. So please consider how the Lord has positioned each one of you in a very special place to represent him in times such as this. Next Sunday will be our Great Commission Sunday. I thought about postponing this event, but I think the Lord is really asking us to just move on with this. So I've invited Phil and JJ, who are our seasoned international workers who are back in California. They're also dear friends who deeply love Jesus and his church. So I think you're going to be really blessed. After a short recorded message, They'll join us on Zoom to fellowship with us. So make sure that you join in as well. I also ask you to prayerfully consider what your role will be in supporting the work of the Great Commission around the world, especially in seasons like this. Here's a short video from Tim Meyer, who recently spoke at our mission conference. And then I want you to stay tuned till the end because I want to send you off with a very special blessing. Have a great week, everyone. God bless you.
This COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted our lives, and it has left no segment of society untouched. Here in this country and all over the world, we're all facing a lot of challenges. But we're part of something big in the Alliance, and I don't want us to forget that in this moment. We have 2,000 churches here in this country and 700 workers around the world who are bringing gospel presence in a very weird and difficult situation. But amid all this bad news, God's doing something new, like Isaiah 43 says. In fact, just this week, I heard from some of my friends who said that the place that they've been serving for the last 9 years has seen little to no receptivity to the gospel. But because of what's going on with the virus, there's new openness in the last 2 weeks. Another of your workers who's leading a small church plant, averaging 50 to 100 on a really good Sunday, has seen thousands of people joining their live stream every week to hear about Jesus, many of whom for the very first time. See, God's doing something special in this time. Great Commission Day is a long tradition in the Alliance. Normally we send out packets and all those things, but this is a different kind of year and we're doing it differently. We're going digital and everybody has an opportunity to engage. You're gonna hear and see 10 different stories of caring and chaos from IWs around the world. Our video team can't go, they're filming it themselves and you'll see them pop up on social media and on the website. You have opportunities to engage in giving and supporting the workers who are staying in place and who need to extend gospel presence in those places. And knowing that we're in a unique time, a generous donor came forward and said, "In this moment, I'm giving $250,000 as a matching gift." So the first $250,000 that comes in, friends, over these next weeks will be matched dollar for dollar to ensure that gospel presence is extended and established in all of these places around the world. Will you join these workers in ensuring that the church advances even in this strange time? We are all facing a lot of uncertainty in these days. So coming to you and asking for missions giving feels a little weird, to be honest. But it's what's necessary because Jesus isn't done. He's not nervous, and he's calling us to engage and to join these workers, your workers around the world, in bringing the gospel to all kinds of places, even unexpected ones. No gift is too small. Whatever God is leading you to do will be matched. And together, we can see what it looks like as a church to care in the middle of chaos.
Lord, turn me. and their children, may his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children.